Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 tonight. And in verse 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now, the King James, Old King James Version, says it this way, and I believe it's actually more accurate. Instead of saying casting down arguments in verse 5, if you really look up that Greek word there, that word arguments, I don't know really understand where they got arguments from. What it should say is what we see in the Old King James, and that is, verse 5, casting down imaginations. Well, imaginations are in the mind. That's speaking of your thoughts. And when you look up that word, that's what it means, imaginations, thoughts. Casting down imaginations. In other words, there's going to be things that are going to come to your mind that you didn't put there. And you got to cast them down. Now, we've all heard about casting out devils. And the Bible tells that in the name of Jesus, believers will cast out devils. But here, the devil gets his start in a person's life, in their mind, in their imagination. Gets them imagining things. Imagining things. Things that aren't really reality yet. He gets them imagining, thinking about things, and the Bible says you got to cast those imaginations down. People that don't cast down imaginations will eventually need a devil cast out of them. Because demons get in through the mind, through what people are thinking on, what people give their mind over, they're giving their lives over to. So he says, casting down imaginations. Now again, remember verse 4, he says, the weapons of our warfare. So this is our spiritual warfare. We're in a war. God's going to help us tonight to become more skillful in our warfare. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 11, it says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we're not ignorant of his devices." Now, when you look up this word devices in the original language, it means mind. Or we could say mind devices. Thoughts. We're talking about Satan. We're not ignorant of his thoughts. Mental perception. When you look up the word perception, it means a mental impression. One of the meanings is a mental impression. So notice this, it says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his thoughts." We could say, we're not ignorant of his mind devices or his mind games. The devil messes with people's minds, if they'll let him. That's where the warfare is. That's where he does his damage in people's lives. And we're not to be ignorant of this. We need to understand this. The devil, if he's going to mess with me, he's going to mess with my mind first. So the devil wants to impress things upon your mind, especially in the area of your imagination. You need to understand that. The devil's going to come and create imaginations in your mind. You need to be able to recognize his imaginations, the images, the thoughts that he's putting in your mind, And what do you do to them? Cast them down. Don't be ignorant of them and just think on them and just welcome them and just accept them into your life. That's being ignorant of Satan's devices. Understand that he's coming against your mind. And when thoughts come that are contrary to the Word of God, we need to cast them down. Imagination, when you look it up in the dictionary, it means the faculty or action of forming new ideas or images or concepts of external objects not present to the senses. In other words, images formed in the mind. When we're talking about your imagination, we're talking about images formed in the mind. It's the ability of the mind to be creative or resourceful. So having an imagination is a God thing. God wants us to be creative like him. We're created in his image, his likeness. Our God's a creative God. So the imagination, when used correctly, will help us to be creative and resourceful. It'll help us to be productive and efficient in life. But if we have the wrong images in our mind, we're having the wrong pictures in our mind, we got the wrong ideas in our thoughts, then that will defeat us in life. The imagination envisions and visualizes. It pictures things. You see things with your mind's eye. And this goes on with us all the time. People have pictures going on in their mind's eye all the time, not in their physical eyes, but they're seeing things. Lots of people play things out in their mind. If you're going to go before a judge to take care of a speeding ticket, you know, you're going to many times play it out in your mind. You see yourself, what you're going to say, and envision maybe the way the judge is going to talk to you, you know. Anything that, any kind of meeting or something that's important to you that you're concerned about, many times you're going to think on it and imagine and envision and picture things in your mind. Things will literally play out in your mind. It's an amazing, powerful tool that God has given mankind, this thing called the imagination, that we can have movies going on in our mind. You know, you might be bored one day, not much going on, so your mind begins to wander, and you drift, and next thing you know, you're over here on the beach somewhere. I mean, you're out here on vacation. You're thinking about your trip to wherever, the Caribbean. Wouldn't it be nice to be on the Caribbean? And you start envisioning the palm trees and all the nice things that come with the sand and the ocean and the seagulls, and can't you hear that? Man, I can go there so quick. That is amazing. Praise God forever. Powerful how your mind can literally go places. Go places. And you can play these things out in your mind. But the devil, again, he wants to get in and infiltrate people's mind. And that's how he almost totally destroyed the human race in the very beginning. It was by infecting mankind's imagination. You see it over here in Genesis chapter 6, right before the flood of Noah. Genesis, the 6th chapter, it says in verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Now, the word intent in my margin says thought. But again, King James Bible says it this way: "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Notice that. Man was thinking evil, imagining evil things. And it was constant. And God was seeing this. God was seeing into the unseen. seeing what others cannot see. God can see into our thought life. God can see our imagination, what we're thinking on. So here he saw. He saw that man's wickedness was great. He saw what he was actually physically doing was very evil, very wicked. And also he saw man's imaginations. And he saw how evil and wicked man's imaginations were. The Amplified Classic says it this way. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and intention of all human thinking was only evil continually. Now, this was even before television. This was before the World Wide Web. And yet somehow the whole world was in one accord in thinking evil. Because they all had one thing in common, and that was the devil. The devil was influencing their minds. The BRG translation. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The CSB translation. When the Lord saw that human wickedness was widespread on the earth, and that every inclination of the human mind was nothing but evil all the time. It's nothing but evil all the time. CEB translation. The Lord saw that humanity had become thoroughly evil on the earth, and that every idea their minds thought up was always completely evil. So, of course, this is what ushered in the Great Flood, and where only Noah and his family was spared. So the whole world, all the people of that time, their imaginations were messed up. They had messed up thoughts. They were walking around with messed up thinking, wicked thoughts going on in their mind. If you go to chapter 8 of Genesis, this is right after the flood. It says in verse 21. Well, let's go to verse 20. Verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took of every clean animal and of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Notice that. He says, although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Usually that's when it gets started. When people become youth. They hit a certain age, and man, the devil goes after our young people. He goes after teenagers to corrupt their minds, to corrupt their minds. Because again, if he can get their minds as a youth, then train up a child in the way that he should go, and he won't depart from it. If he could put all kinds of wrong thinking in a young person's mind, and that young person takes hold of it, and imagines and thinks on these things and doesn't know the word and doesn't renew his mind, then he's got to grow up with these things, going up with wrong thinking in his mind, with wrong pictures going on in his mind. So it's so important to guard our minds. Teenagers need to know, guard your minds. Don't let that devil have your mind. If he has your mind, he has your future. Don't let the devil have your mind. In fact, here in Genesis 8:21, that word imagination, when you look it up in the original Hebrew, the word imagination, it means mind. It also means frame. Frame. Thing framed. A thing framed. Framed. So notice that. He's talking about the imagination. He's talking about a thing framed. People are framing things with their imagination. The imagination frames things. What you're framing in your imagination, you will be constructing in your future. What you're framing in your imagination, you will be constructing in your future. In other words, you will be carrying out eventually the things that you're imagining to some degree, in some way. Because as you're imagining things, you're rehearsing things. And how people know you only rehearse for things you're getting ready to do. People rehearse for what they're getting ready to do. So if you're imagining things, you're rehearsing things in your mind that's getting you ready to do some things. So when the actual time comes in the natural, the opportunity, we could say, arises in the natural, you've rehearsed, you're ready, and it's just reactionary. You just step right into it, and you react to those set of circumstances the way you have been thinking, the way you have been imagining. Think about that. So it's kind of like framing. It's kind of like blueprints. You're framing things out. You're putting the blueprint together in your mind. Make sure it's God, the Holy Spirit, that is the one that's working with you as the master architect in putting the plans together in your mind. And make sure it's not a demon. Because there's all kinds of demons that want to sit down with you at the drawing table and draw all kinds of pictures in your mind and create all kinds of imaginations in your mind, knowing that if he can complete the blueprints, he can get the thing constructed in your life. He can cause what's going on in the unseen to become seen. Everything in the seen has started in the unseen. We know that going back over to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. It says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By what? The by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now, isn't that interesting? The word imagination that we just looked at over here in Genesis 8:21, where God said, although the imagination of man's heart is evil, so it's talking about man's imagination, the word means framed. The word imagination means framed, a thing framed. And here it says, verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed. We could say imagined in the mind of God, in the unseen, because what's going on in the imagination is only seen by the one that's imagining it. It's not seen by everybody else. It's not seen in the physical. He says, but here he says that that's how the whole creation came into being. It all started in the imagination. It all started in the mind of God. God framed it. God had the blueprints laid out in his thoughts. And so everything that we see was framed by the word of God. Well, guess how we're supposed to be framing things in our mind? By the word of God. It's by the word of God that we frame. It's not even by ourselves. It's not even a matter of just, now make sure you think on good things and think on positive. No, let God establish your thoughts. Let him establish your thoughts. Let God, the master architect, sit down and design thoughts for you. Now again, the devil's very loud and he's very rude and he will push himself. But you just got to go ahead and push him out. When he tries to push himself in, you got to push him down. When he tries to sit down at the table and try to help draw up things in your mind. And we have to invite the Holy Spirit. We have to turn to him. We have to look to him. The one we're turning to, the one we're acknowledging is the one that is going to be talking to us. Whether it's God or it's the devil. We see this over in Exodus chapter 3. Exodus 3, here's Moses out in the wilderness. And he's walking with the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And verse 2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, to Moses, in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked. Everybody say he looked. So he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, and he said, here I am. We see Moses said, obviously probably within himself, he said, I will now turn aside. I will now turn aside to look. When God saw that he turned aside to look, verse 4, when God saw that he turned aside to look, that's when God called to him. Or we say that's when God spoke to him. That's when God started talking to him. And what did God start saying? God started giving him a blueprint of his future. God started showing him things that he was to do. I mean, God is showing him things as he's talking to him here. So Moses' future is being framed by God. When did it start? When he turned aside to look. That's why the devil's always trying to get your attention. Because if he can get you to look in his direction at what he wants you to look at, then he could start talking to you and start putting things in your mind. This way you try to help people. You try to tell them, you know, you got to watch what you watch. You got to watch what you look at. Because depending on what you look at is going to determine spiritually who's talking to you. What's going to go on in your mind? What's going to go on in your imagination? And so a lot of folks have a lot of crazy things going on in their imagination simply because they've turned aside to look at things that they had no business turning aside to look at. They should have been trusting God. They shouldn't have been worried about it. They shouldn't have been going in that direction. So we got to guard ourselves. Well, we got to think before you turn. Think and consider before you do things. And that's going to help reduce how much the devil can mess with your mind. I don't know. I don't want the devil messing with my mind. How about you? Thank God God's helping us tonight with his word. How we can guard our mind. You know, we don't have to walk around with a tormented mind. I got news for you. We don't have to walk around with the devil controlling our mind. We can have control of the mind. We can cast down his thoughts. And we can have God's thoughts in our mind. We can have God's vision for our life. We can envision what God has for us. So you understand that principle. It's when he turned aside, boom, his mind got bombarded, we could say. God bombarded his mind. God, so he turned aside, God just bombarded my mind. I mean, I like when my mind's bombarded by God. You mean God will bombard your mind? Oh, man, he was just bombarding my mind before I came out here. You just start bombarding your mind. You know, scriptures will start coming to your mind. Things will start coming to your remembrance. You know, you start turning aside and you start acknowledging God. You start acknowledging him, thinking on him, thinking about, what does the word say about that? Or, you know, thinking about the message you just heard this past Wednesday night. And you just start thinking about that and you turn aside to think. God looks and says, he sees you turn aside. You're turning aside to look into some things. You turn aside to open the Bible. Next thing you know, you start getting bombarded. Scripture starts coming, and you got to sit down, start typing. You got to start writing. You should always have a pen ready. You should always have a pen and pad ready or an iPad or something ready to write down things. God will start establishing your thoughts, right? What does the Bible say in Proverbs? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will establish your thoughts. He'll direct your steps, but another one says he'll establish your thoughts. By acknowledging him, by looking to him. But it's the same way with the devil. Acknowledge the fear. Acknowledge the lie. Acknowledge these things. And what's going to happen? Bombardment, bombardment, bombardment of fear, all these things that the devil sins against people's minds. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 4 concerning Abraham that he considered not his own body. He didn't consider. There's some things he didn't go there. And that kept him in faith. That kept him hearing from God. Let me reverse that. That kept him hearing from God, and thus that kept him in faith. Because what? Because it was just, he didn't, God said it. He's not even knowledgeable. Devil come over and say, take another look in the mirror. You're pretty old. I mean, have you seen the wrinkles? And a lot of times people, they turn and look. And then the bombardment comes. Then the bombardment comes. I had someone yesterday, real nice guy, but I had a guy yesterday. He was just going off, you know. He's very happy guy, very nice guy. But he was just going off about, yeah, as you get older, you know, you lose your eyesight and you forget things, and then, you know, he just started naming all the things that happen as you get older. I'm thinking, dear Lord Jesus, I'm not planning any of those things. I'm planning Isaiah 60 something or other. You renew your, or is it 40 something or other? 41. Isaiah 41, where your youth shall be renewed like the eagles. I don't know. I'm just picturing eagles. I'm just picturing mounting up with strength as the eagles. I'm not going to sit here and picture becoming weaker and weaker and weaker, because what you're imagining today in the unseen, you'll be constructing in the future, seen. So let's watch what we're framing. Let's watch what we're thinking about. So notice that Abraham, he didn't consider. He didn't consider, because if he started considering it, what would happen? Bombardment. His imagination would have been attacked. We see that in Hebrews 11 again. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 15. He's talking about all the great patriarchs of faith that ran their race well. It says, and truly, if they had called to mind the country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. Notice that. If they had called to mind the country from which they had come out of. Now think about this. If they had called it to their mind, they thought about their country, their past, where they've come from, they're thinking about these things. They call that to their mind, what's going to happen? Opportunities. In other words, all kinds of great ideas are going to come to help them to go there. Because if they call it to mind, the blueprint is going to be created, the framing is going to go on, and next thing you know, they're going to be there. They're going to be back in that place, back in their past. We shouldn't be walking around talking about the good old days. Our best days are just ahead. I don't have time for the past. Have you seen my future? I have. Are you seeing your future? God's drawing a picture of your future in his word. Now, I'm not talking about sitting here going around doing like a lot of people do. They walk around and go, I see a big boat. I see a big house. And I see this, and I see this, and I see. Let the architect help you. There's no sense in you going over here and getting high-minded and covetous and all into yourself. Let God develop the plan. Too many people are trying to create their own plan. It's just the same as having the devil create his plan for your life. Because it's all grounded in selfishness and not in God's idea. Now, the kind of wife I'm going to have, she's going to have this color hair. She's going to be this tall. She's going to weigh this. This is what she's in. And she's going to have money so that I don't have to work. And she's going to have this. And that's what I'm believing for. Oh, she is. Get out of here, Charlie. You little nutty nut. You fleshy thing. Now, a lot of Christians do that. You gotta know exactly what you want. No, God knows exactly what you want. Just follow him. Why don't you go ahead and let him draw the plans? Huh?
I told God exactly what I wanted.
That's funny. I let God tell me exactly what he wants for me. And you know what he wants for me is a whole lot better than what I ever wanted. And what I thought was good, God had great. That's what you'll find. He's got the plan. Let God establish your thoughts. How do we do that? Acknowledge him. Call to mind. Now see, this can work on the positive. If we'll call to mind the God that we've come from, then we will have all kinds of great ideas how to walk with him, how to please him, how to fulfill his plan for our life. Just by calling him to mind. We don't want to be sitting here calling to mind things that are not of God, whether good or bad. Because there's a lot of things that are good, like I said, the good old days, but they're not necessarily the God days. And God's got so much better ahead of us. Somebody say, my best days are out in front of me. Yeah, it's glory to glory. I said it's glory to glory. It's better to better. Hallelujah. And God so wants to put that vision in us. He wants to draw those pictures on our mind. He wants to make those things real to us. So that's what we go off and daydream about. That's what we think about. That's what we're thinking about. We're thinking about what God has planned for us, not just what we're trying to plan on our own. But do you see the principle again? What you call to mind will establish your thoughts, will produce ideas, thoughts, pictures in your mind. So if you don't like a lot of the stuff that's going on in your mind, think about what you have been turning to look at and think about. And start changing it. Say, you know, I need to just, what does God's word say about that? What does God say about that? What does God say about that? You find yourself just thinking about stuff. Make sure you don't just keep thinking about stuff without stopping to say, what does God's word say about that? What does God's word say about that? Bring God's word into it. What does God's word say about it? And then you go to a scripture, and then you can allow God to start developing pictures in your mind. And read the word. Let God establish pictures in your mind. Don't just read it to get through it. Read it to see it. We want to look into the word and see what God is saying. We can see what God is saying. Or we can see what the devil's saying. Or we can see what somebody else is saying. They might be threatening or whatever. We can see what they're saying. Really quick, I'm not sure exactly where it is, but I might be able to find it. That would be 1 Kings, and it's the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Remember when he called fire out of heaven? This great miracle happens. He has the prophets of Baal, 400 of them, executed right in front of King Ahab. And then there was a famine in the land that lasted, I believe, 3 years because he had spoken, there'll be no rain or no dew on the ground until I say so. Now he says so. And next thing you know, an abundance of rain comes. So all this great stuff happens. It all happens real quickly. And the nation of Israel really at this point is poised for a major revival. Fire just came out of heaven. The rain came. The prophets of Baal have been executed. I mean, this is awesome. What just took place here? And then it says in chapter 19 of 1 Kings, in verse 1, and Ahab told Jezebel, that's the queen, and she happens to be a witch. She's a Satanist. This is a very wicked woman. She works in witchcraft. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of as one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he heard that? When he saw that, excuse me, when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. And next thing you know, he goes into complete depression. And he starts telling the Lord, I just want to die. I just want to die. Meanwhile, he's running for his life, but he wants to die because he's depressed. The Bible says anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, causes a person to become depressed. If you have anxiety, if you have fear, next thing you know, you get depressed. If you're depressed about anything, it's because you're worried about stuff. So you got to fix the depression, you just got to go back and find out what you're worried about. What is it you're worried about? And that deals with the depression. But that's what happened to Elijah. But notice this. When this woman Jezebel sent a messenger to him, he gets this word that says, you're a dead man. This time tomorrow, you are a dead man. I'm going to have you killed. Bible says when he saw that, he ran for his life. In other words, with those words came images. He's a witch. Demons are involved in this. When she sent those words to him, all kinds of imaginations came, and he saw himself being cruelly executed by this woman. All kinds of fearful thoughts began to grip his mind. It was not what he heard, it was what he saw in his imagination that caused him to run for his life. Not just what he heard. Because before this, he had heard a lot of things. I mean, he stood up to the king. He stood up to the prophets of Baal. He stood up before the entire nation, called fire out of heaven. But when this woman said that, his mind got bombarded, and he ran for his life. He lost control of his mind, of his imagination, and it caused him to sink into depression. And now he wants to quit. He's even suicidal. I mean, he's not going to kill himself, but he wants to die. Now he wants to die. Becomes unreasonable in his actions because of his mind. There's so many people, they're depressed. They're miserable. I just want to die. And it's because of what they're seeing and hear. It's not really what's going on around them. A lot of folks, when you look at their life, it's like, it's really not that bad. But to them, you can't even say that. Because they don't just see the problem. They see all kinds of things that have been hyped up and blown out of proportion in their mind mixed in with the problem. So even though the problem might be this big, their imagination has shrouded it with all kinds of problems. So they're living out of their minds. They're living out of their imagination. So what you're thinking on is going to determine the quality of your life. Because you can have a little, and yet you see big. Hallelujah. You see big things. You see big, beautiful, wonderful things. That's what you see. You're living in the dream. You're living in the vision. You're living in God's plan. God's thoughts. You're living in this imaginary realm. But it's not going to stay imaginary. Because it's a frame. Things are being framed out. And you stay in that imaginary realm long enough and you just enjoy it and praise God. Just live big on the inside. Hallelujah. In the unseen realm and just walk and talk like someone that's enjoying a big, wonderful, robust life. And things just wonderful. Things are great. Glory be to God. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to break forth. And construction's going to start. A little here, a little there, and next thing you know, you have exactly what you've been seeing. So it's not just what we're saying, it's what we're seeing. What we're saying is affecting what we're seeing. What we're seeing will affect what we're saying. It's all working together to set things up for us. But you see, then there's people over here, and they're thinking on things. And they're thinking, and next thing you know, I mean, they're having a miserable day today. They walk into a place, they're completely miserable. And it's like, what happened since, you know, I saw you 4 days ago. So 3 days ago. So 4 days ago. So what happened in the last 4 days that you left here smiling and happy, and now you're miserable and you don't even know if you like me anymore? No, really, seriously. I mean, you wonder about these things. What happened? Come to find out, nothing really physically happened. But oh my goodness, in their mind, they've been to the mountaintop and they've been to the valley. They've been to the bottomless pit and back. They've been to hell and back. They've been there. They've gone through it all in their mind. They've seen it. They've traveled far and wide. They've seen the deepest places of hell, the inner caverns of the dark and the dingy. Are you hearing me? That's where they are. They come over 4 days later, you think, where have they been? They're worn out. They're worn out. Just worn out. You think, where have they been? And really, physically, they haven't been anywhere different than they've always been. But mentally, they're exhausted. They're worn out. They're depressed. They've been seeing all kinds of things. You wonder how people can go from this to that so quickly. It's because so much is going on in their minds. So much is going on. You look at their life and think, it's not really much happening here. But in their mind, there's so much going on, so much going on, so much going on. That's got to stop. That makes people moody. That makes people fleshy. And that causes people to make irrational decisions, just like Elijah. They make irrational decisions. Next thing you know, they're making these crazy decisions. Like, why are you doing this? Where are you going? What in the world is happening to you? Because they're mine. Lots going on in their mind, and they're believing it. You think on stuff, you stop believing it. It's amazing how people, they think there's certain things that are real, that it's reality. And it's not real, but in their mind, it is real. They're convinced of it because they've played it, and they've lived through it, and they've been there. They've seen it for themselves. They even think it happened. They even think it physically happened. Because they've played it through so much in their mind. They're living their life out as though it happened. And it never happened. It never happened. But now they're creating it. They're building it. They're making it happen. They're causing it to come to pass. Because of their imagination. So we have to control the mind. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 23. It says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Contemporary English Bible says, instead, renew the thinking in your mind by the Spirit. Contemporary English Version. Let the Spirit change your way of thinking. I like that. Let the Spirit change the way you're thinking. Watch how you're thinking when you leave here tonight. Watch how you're thinking. You know, it's amazing. People could walk out of something. They had a blessed time. Had a wonderful time. Everything went great. And next thing, a thought comes. A negative thought comes about somebody or something. You know, they did this or that. You know, somebody looked at you wrong, you know. And they start thinking about it. And next thing, they start playing this thing out in their mind that nobody likes them. Everybody's against them. And the next time you see them, they're like, you know, they think everybody's out to get them. Because they have all these kind of, they entertained a negative thought that led to another negative thought that led to another negative thought. And, I mean, now they lived it. They literally lived something in their mind that never happened. Everybody treated me wrong, and it never even happened. But to them it did because they lived it. They saw it. They saw it firsthand in their mind. It's a sad reality. It goes on all the time. There's so many scriptures I can go through about, we just looked over in Genesis, but there's so many scriptures I could go through talking about the imagination and what God says about it and the old covenant and Israel and how much it was their imagination that kept getting them off track. But for time's sake, we'll just stay here. Ephesians 4:23, he says in the ERV translation, you must be made new in your hearts and in your thinking. Let the Spirit of God establish your thoughts. Some folks need some new thinking. Praise God. That's why it's so important. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Renew your mind with the Word of God. You got to do it. Give God place in your mind. Because it's not even just what you're reading. You're opening yourself up to him to be able to bombard you, speak to you, and tell you, show you all kinds of things. Even tonight, there's some folks, you've seen all kinds of things other than just me preaching. You've gone off in different directions. Sometimes I could tell. You could see it's like, okay, they're gone. They're somewhere else. That's okay. It might be the Holy Spirit. They're over here. But don't wander off too far. Come back. Stay with me. Good things. Good things are still here. Can you say amen? Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind. That word mind can also be translated imagination. And it is translated imagination in other places. I will put my laws in their mind, in their imagination, and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let him put his imaginations in your mind. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand up and thank the Lord tonight for giving us his word and helping us tonight. Praise God.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.